Hey, you want that to go?
Some takeouts for you. Early this morning, European finance ministers agreed on a rescue package of an unprecedented size to protect the eurozone.
They just found $1 trillion laying around. Yeah, they just found it laying around.
Well, it had to be somewhere. European governments, with the help of the IMF, have pledged nearly $1 trillion worth of emergency funding. They're hoping to stem the global contagion from the financially imperiled Greece.
This morning's agreement will ensure that any attempt to weaken the stability of the euro will fail.
That's European Commission President José Manuel Barroso speaking in Brussels.
You know, apparently if that doesn't work, the $1 trillion, they're going to lower a dome down over... totally inappropriate.
We're joined now by BBC Europe reporter Dominic Hughes. He joins us from... Yeah, we're going to ignore John, Dominic.
Now.
Forget that containment dome idea. But tell me about... it looks like the markets are going nuts. What's it like in Brussels?
It does look as though the markets are giving this deal a thumbs up, but one has to say that we're word of caution in that I've seen a couple of these big deals announced over the last couple of weeks, and initially the markets say great, and then they say not so great. So let's hold off and see what the markets do over the long term. But this is, make no mistake about it, it's a massive package. I think it dwarfs even the TARP package outlined in the States. Was it last year or the year before? Time flies so fast, it's hard to keep track. But, you know, it's $1,000 billion, $1 trillion. And of that, $562 billion comes from the 16 Eurozone countries, $319 billion from the IMF, and $74 billion from existing EU funds. So it's a huge deal.
So exactly, you know, we were joking earlier about them finding $1 trillion. Where is this money coming from?
Well, if you found that down the back of your sofa, it would be a very uncomfortable sofa to sit on, wouldn't it? It would leave an enormous lump.
But, I don't think I'd worry about that so much.
You could buy a new one.
I could get a new sofa.
Yeah. It's interesting because I've been trying to read the small print of this deal, and it's not entirely clear where the money's coming from. At first, we thought it was going to partly be in terms of country-to-country loans. But I think, judging by the small print, what they might be trying to set up is what they call a sort of special vehicle, which would be a way of these EU Eurozone countries, the 16 Eurozone countries, going to the markets, borrowing the money at a commercial rate with the low interest rates you would get by borrowing with the backing of Germany and France and the big Eurozone countries, and then lending the money to the countries that are in trouble. So they're looking at countries like Spain, Portugal, Ireland, where, as one finance minister said yesterday, the wolf packs of the market are sniffing around and seeing if they can detect any weaknesses there.
Well, in the United States, the United States is able to buy, and in England as well, they bought bonds directly from governments. In Europe, they can't do that, right? So how did they get around that?
Well, one of the things that's been outlined last night is for the first time, the European Central Bank will start buying bonds and will start buying government debt, mm-hmm. which is something it said even last Thursday. It said it wasn't even going to consider doing, but now it is going to do that. And I think that's it's a measure of the scale of the problem that they've now recognised that they're facing, that this crisis threatens not just Greece, it's not just Spain and Portugal and Ireland and maybe even Italy, but it fundamentally undermines the stability and the credibility of the euro itself. And I think, you know, ministers are pretty worried that the euro single currency is in peril and that they needed to send an extremely strong message, a message that's been characterised as a massive firepower strategy by one of the writers in Brussels. And they needed to send that message and they needed to do it quickly.
Okay, Dominic Hughes, a Europe reporter for our partner, the BBC.
Shock and awe over there in Europe. Well, it's milestones and momentum here in the sports weekend. Ibrahim Abdelmateen joins us. Good morning.
Good morning.
So the milestone is in baseball. Let's listen to this.
Pennington, he's got it. Throw to first. He did it! Dallas Braden has thrown a perfect game!
Pitcher Dallas Braden of the Oakland Athletics, 4-0 victory over the Tampa Bay Rays, a perfect game. That was pretty exciting.
Pretty exciting indeed. And if you think about the history of baseball, since 1901, where Major League Baseball, American League, and National League, they've been around in some form since 1876. And each season has about over 100 games, 162 games.
Right.
There's been 19 perfect games. That's a pretty amazing feat.
So, and describe to people who don't know baseball so well, what is a perfect game again?
That means every player gets out at either a strikeout or they hit out in some way, shape, or form.
27 consecutive outs.
Correct.
Wow. Now, that's different than, like, you know, only strikeouts.
Correct.
27 strikeouts. That would be that's probably never been done.
There's right? No walks. Yeah, that would be amazing.
Yeah, it would.
All right, let's talk about the NBA playoffs. Now, you know, last week I was talking about LeBron James and Kobe Bryant as being the dominant sort of theme of this, but now we've got the Phoenix Suns and the Orlando Magic, who really have shown just how dominant they are. Let's talk about Phoenix for a minute.
Well, obviously Phoenix has Steve Nash, who yesterday was bloody and wounded over his right eye.
One eye. He still wins.
He was able to lead to his team to victory. But what he has around him, and we've talked about this before, is that he has around him a team of young and old players, players that have been around a lot, like Grant Hill. Grant Hill's been playing basketball since I was in middle school. And you have guys that have also that are newer to the game, like Channing Frye, that everyone's contributing, and Steve Nash is directing this like a conductor of the Philharmonic.
Is that Orlando's story as well? I don't think they've lost a game in the playoffs.
No, yet. Orlando actually. Well, Orlando has been their process has been greased by having teams with lackluster talent as well. So let's look at this from a perspective. Put it in context when they run into. Either the Celtics or Cleveland, who they may play in the next round, who are tied 2-2, they may find themselves grinding to a halt.
All right. So Orlando's looking good now, but maybe rough waters ahead.
Indeed.
Phoenix Suns are really the big story, Spurs away, and that perfect game by the Oakland Athletics, Dallas Braden. Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, thanks so much. Coming up, The Agenda.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.